Tabisky.
Okay. Thank you, Monica. So, hello. It is Tuesday, July 28th. And nice to see everyone. I am traveling. I am in Gorey, Wexford County, Ireland. And next Tuesday, God willing, and Aer Lingus doesn't crash, I'll be back in dear old Berkeley. Yeah, great to be here and to talk some Dharma. Sometimes when I get involved in many other activities, the mental state deteriorates. Even though I'm having a lovely time, my mind is very delicate. It's easily tips over into madness. But yeah, no, having an incredible time, staying with some people who just are kind of the most generous. You sort of don't know how to, give back. But they seem to be happy to give. So hopefully they're getting good, lots of good karma and they'll be reborn in a heaven realm. Got one more person in the waiting room. So we will start with about a 20-minute sit and then talk a little Dharma. So is there anything else I need to say? I guess I'm okay. Thanks, Steve. Steve says it's enough. I will say this, that I've connected with a bunch of sober people here, and when I talk about the idea of a retreat, there's some interest. So a retreat in Ireland could be an adventure. And anybody who wants to come over. So maybe, no promises. Okay, so let's I'm sorry, I have to keep leaning forward to. Yes, Carolyn, you will come. Thank you. I believe that. All right. So let's sit back and try to be present for a little while as best we can. So just connecting with your body, with yourself, the present moment. You can close your eyes or just lower your gaze. Or even to notice what are you aware of first when you begin a period of meditation? Do you notice your body? Are you aware of your mood or your emotions? Are you aware of thoughts? You want to let the body settle, soften the belly, let the shoulders relax. Actually, it can be helpful to consciously loosen the jaw. It's one of the places that we can wind up creating tension. So a sense of ease. Turning toward the breath. Feeling the body breathing. Where do you feel the breath? Or is it easy for you to feel the breath? Just let the mind land there. Just following the rhythm of the breath. In, breathing out. Oh, at first we a little more effort to feel and put the mind on the sensations of breath. And that can feel a little artificial, and that's okay to just kind of do the work of meditation. We can develop some ease, calm, and it becomes more natural. The mind may wander, we gently come back. Not setting up goals, trying to achieve anything. Just to be here, awake, alive. And sometimes a pleasant feeling will come. We can sit with that, just take that in fully. Don't have to avoid pleasant feelings. And so too, sometimes unpleasant feelings come. And again, we simply allow, be with. There's no fixed experience, no fixed feeling. Just as the breath is in constant motion, so too is the mind, the heart, the energies, sensations, and feelings in the body. It's this persistent movement of mind and body that makes stilling the mind or coming to quiet or stillness challenging. Where is the quiet? Where is the stillness? Sometimes we'll get a glimpse or a sense. We'll realize that there's a stillness beneath the movement. Something innate, something natural. Self. The knowing mind. Whatever we're experiencing, the Buddha says we can absorb into it, take it in fully. Not analyzing or judging. Just feeling fully. Vocal bell. Thank you. A couple of Dharma topics on my mind. I guess the one that stands out for me, I had this perfect experience of seeing how self-consciousness and like I interferes with my awareness. Now, my lovely host, Sean, last night took me to a session in Gori, and it's a room full of families, really. And in the front, there's two women with harps, and they're encircled by fiddles and flutes and guitars, and there's a piper. Tremendous piper. And then out in the audience, there's kids. I mean, some of them in this circle are the kids, but some of the kids are out in the audience. Little girl with an accordion, so there were little accordions too, and harmoniums and a lot of whistles. The kids start out on the, I think of them as, they're not penny whistles exactly, because I think those are the ones that go, you push in and out. But anyway, they're like the little piccolos kind of. And the music is just, I mean, we're all familiar with that Irish music, is just beautiful. And then someone gets up and sings an air, and it's haunting, and and you're just, and there's babies there, and mothers holding their babies, and and I'm just standing there, my heart's just wide open and just loving this, and grateful, to be able to come into this, classic sort of thing. And there's no tourists there. This is not a tourist thing. This is a community thing. They're not playing for anybody. They're playing for themselves. And so I'm just really, I'm very, I feel very there. And then Sean says, "Well, we'll go back here." So we go to the back of the room, and there's a fellow who's taking some money, and Sean gives him some money. And then Sean says to him, "Well, my friend here is from California, and he's a musician. Oh, you have to play. You have to get up and play." And I was saying this before, I guess, before the recording. And I am a musician. I'm quite competent musician, and and part of me is like, oh, this would really be fun, this would be kick. It's sort of a fantasy of mine, like, oh, to be able to like join in an Irish crowd and play a little bit. But then I'm like, I don't know, But then, oh, no, you've got to play, and you know how they can sort of sense, the sort of generosity of spirit. So I'm like, okay, sure, I'll get up and play something. Oh yeah, we're going to put your name down, because they've been doing sort of a group thing, and then the individuals start getting up and doing different little things, and a little girl gets up and plays something, and a boy plays this great thing on the whistle, and someone sings a beautiful song. And then they're like, okay, Kevin Griffin from, no, but before that, so now I'm not listening. I can't hear it anymore. My heart is not open anymore. I'm out of my fucking mind. Sorry. Because I'm like, oh shit. What am I gonna play? Oh, I have to do something. And it just me takes over, right? Me wasn't there. I was just with the crowd. But now I am going to perform. I'm going to get in front. What am I going to play? What are they going to think about me? Me. Oh my God. It was just so blatant. It was just black and white. Self, no self. And boy, self is a lot more uncomfortable than no self, you know. So, I was, of course. I mean, I borrowed somebody's guitar, I retuned it, put it into G tuning, just run through all this stuff, and it was good. People, I don't know what people thought. I think they probably enjoyed it, you know. I'm too embarrassed to look at them, you know. I can't. When I perform, I don't look at the audience. I'm too nervous or whatever. I'm shy or something. Anyway, it was great, you know. But I thought, boy, there you are. That's such a great example of how self-consciousness and thinking about yourself ruins your life, you know. And I mean, I don't know. I'm not maybe any more self-conscious than anyone else, but I think of people who kind of are in that state all the time. And sometimes you run into someone like that who's like, just everything, like, how do I look? How do I sound? And so I'm grateful that I don't feel that. I said to myself, self, if they invited me to do a guided meditation, I would have been perfectly relaxed and happy. That would have been fine. But the guitar is like something that it goes back to my youth and self-consciousness. So interesting. And and the thing is, I know what's happening, you know what I mean? But I can't turn it off. I'm there. I'm not enjoying my listening to the music anymore because I'm so self-conscious. And I'm like, I should stop, but I can I do that? Do I, talk? It's like powerless, right? Powerless over the ego. Once the ego gets flipped, it's like, okay, we're gone. So interesting. I was grateful when it was all over, but it lingered, of course. It lingered. And I had like a terrible dream about not about performing, but about just one of those dreams of, oh, I forgot this. I've got to go back. I can't get back. The elevator's not working, you know. And I know it was just still just more about it was self. It's just once it gets going, you know. I mean, I see why I used to have to drink when after my gigs, you know, or during my gigs, you know. Anyway, I guess the other thing, if I think about like what Dharma topics have been on my mind, you know, because that's what I kind of try to bring here. The other one was, the worldly winds, which you may know. And the worldly winds, it's traditionally eight things, and I'm not sure I even remember all eight, but it's gain and loss. I guess gain and loss, pleasure and pain, fame and ill repute, and then there's another one that's just kind of like that, praise and blame. That's the one people usually talk about, praise and blame. But I was thinking about it, I was like, well, you could just keep going with that, you know. There's lots of, win or lose, happy, sad, angry, loving, just and it's just. And it's teaching on impermanence, right? That and how important it is, and to remember that whatever is happening right now, it's going to change, and the opposite will come. I remember Ajahn Amaro. I've mentioned this before, but when he published his book, Small Boat, Great Mountain, just probably 20 years ago. So I remember him giving a talk, and this was a book that I loved and was very influential for me. Kind of just ate it up. And he said, he was talking about praise and blame. He said, a lot of people have told me they love that book and that, people are very happy with it. But he said, I got an email from a monk in Thailand. They said you shouldn't be. This is very wrong. What you wrote in that book, you shouldn't be doing. because he was comparing the Thai forest tradition to the Tibetan Dzogchen tradition, and which is what makes it a really interesting book. But this person was like, no, that's inappropriate, you know. Here we have Ajahn Amaro, who at that time was probably a monk for 30 years, and an abbot of a monastery, who gets a lot of praise. But there was some blame slipped in there, But yeah, I mean, it's one of the things I do to get through difficult moments. Is remember, oh, it's bad right now, but this is going to be over, probably a couple hours. And yesterday my hosts took me on a lovely drive down through Wexford, and went to the town of Wexford, which is kind of like Galway, actually has one of a walk way through the town, no cars, and with the old buildings, and the old signs. What was the There was a pub called The Undertaker, and the other window in one of the windows, it said Husband Daycare Center. So, a little sexism, but And then we went off to this lighthouse, Hooked Lighthouse, incredibly beautiful spot that monks had, tended the lighthouse for 1,000 years. It was built in like the 6th century or something. But on the way back, I told them I wanted to take them to lunch. But by now it's getting to be like 3:30, and I'm starving, But and I'm thinking, if I were with my wife, I'd be whining and complaining. But I'm just with these people I don't know very well. But I didn't feel as irritable. Not only did I not behave badly, but I didn't feel as bad that I think I would feel if I had been with someone that I could whine with, that I could complain to. That's interesting, because like our minds, we adjust to the circumstances. And if I'm in the right circumstances, I could just complain all day long. But if I'm in the wrong circumstances, I behave very well, very civilized. So, because I was thinking, oh, well, I'm hungry now, but in a little while, I'll be full. And it was kind of like the praise and blame. It's like the worldly winds. Well, I'll be full, and then I'll probably be thinking. And after I ate, I felt like my. I thought, oh, I think I might be getting food poisoning. I wasn't, but of course, it was like, oh, I was really hungry before, and now I've too much food. So it's a lot like praise and blame and fame and ill repute. And it is just such a thing, is such a simple thing to remember. It's not Buddhist, right? Impermanence isn't Buddhist. Remembering impermanence isn't Buddhist. But it's something we talk about a lot. And it is a great just cure for so many things. I'm not much of a traveler. I don't generally. Historically, let's say, I have not been someone who wanted to get a, I wanted to travel when I was 19. And it feels a bit like that right now, because traveling alone, you tend to meet people, and mostly I've traveled with my wife. So, but I'm finding when you travel, you're always running into these a lot of highs and lows, right? Because you're not at home having your sort of ordinary daily life. You have like exciting moments, and then you have these like, oh, you're stuck on the train coming down. They were using like a commuter train, and so there were no bathroom on it, no cafe, the seats were very small, and And again, I just was like, yeah, this is really unpleasant. I got on at the train station in Dublin, the Connolly station. The train was empty. It pulled up empty. And the people at Connolly filled it, every seat was taken. And then we made nine more stops before we got, no, I think it was six stops to get out of Dublin. So people are standing and crowding in. I thought, yeah, this is really unpleasant. This is unpleasant Baden. And in 2 hours I'm going to be off it. Oh, it's okay. You kind of do it on retreats too. But I mean, in a way, it's just maturity, isn't it? I'm not famous for my maturity level. I will say that reminds me that, when I first was in touch with this, my host here, is a friend of a friend, and someone put us together through email. And he said, "Oh yeah, I'd love to take you out and play golf. I'll take you out to play golf, and you can stay with us." And he said, "The Irish, when we play golf, you have to have two pints of Guinness before you go out to play." And I didn't want him to have the wrong impression. And so I just kind of like, I want to let you know, like I don't drink, and he was sort of apologetic. I was like, no, don't apologize. It's fine. You drink, and he's not a big drinker at all. But I was in Dublin. I was playing with all these sober people, and so I came here not knowing quite what to expect. But very quickly, they have five children, and very quickly I found out that their youngest is an addict, and they've had a terrible time with and because I'm very open about myself and what I do and my they the whole the one of their daughters was here, and she, and then the parents, and they've been through it, and it's again it's like another one of those things, like people outwardly so often are just try to look like they have normal lives. I mean, no, what's normal, right? Turns out addiction is normal. And and they've and their daughter, they say she's sober, but I could tell they were very like not sure, like she's alienated all her siblings. Her siblings won't talk to her, and she's in Liverpool, I just yeah. There you go. It's everywhere. Whether we're sober or not sober, the disease, So I don't have much more. I mean, I don't seem to be using up all the time here. I'm very kind of I don't know. But so I'm just going to open it up, and thank you for listening. And I hope my road mind is not is of some value. Appreciate you guys showing up, and love to hear any thoughts or questions or suggestions, please. I know it takes a minute for people to decide to speak, so. There we go, Mary
Okay.
Helen. You go next, Monica. Mary Helen. Yes, hi.
Hi, Kevin. I just wanted to share that my granddaughter has 3 months sober tomorrow at 19.
Woo.
So people are still getting sober.
Yeah, that's grand. That's really lovely to hear. I'm glad to hear it. Yeah, it is so interesting, right? And it just, yeah, I mean, it just keeps going, right? It just keeps going. I have all these nieces and nephews. sober. And it takes people a while, of course, you know. When you're young, you know, you think, well, I'm just having fun, you And later on, you realize you're not having fun anymore. So, but I mean, the most important thing to me is just being willing and willing to do it. You know, if you, there's so much resistance and so much people feel, believe or think that there's stigma. And then, you know, I'm sure many of you feel this way, that when you finally made that decision, it was like, oh, what a relief. You know, just, oh, this is so much easier. I was fighting with this idea. Oh God, stop drinking. Oh God, what'll my life be like? It'll be terrible. Yeah, go ahead, Monica. Thank you.
Hi, Kevin. So you said you wanted a suggestion. Here's a suggestion. Go into an ask somebody where there's an Aldi. Go in and get snacks. I did that in Ireland. Well, or get I always had a piece of cheese on me in case we couldn't figure out how to get to
Yeah.
the restaurant. Yeah, and Aldi has organic like I don't know. I know you're specific in what you eat, but and yeah, but other than that, I like this whole thing, the how you wound it around with not self, how self was showing up, and
Yeah.
I just competed in a horse show, and I hadn't been in one since I was 9th grade, and
Wow.
I had to spend a whole day talking myself out of self. But
Yeah.
before I went, because I didn't,
Yeah.
not talking, but contemplating, and the tools I got from practice was so helpful, so I could just be happy for everyone, and here's self talking. I did win the whole thing,
All
so.
right. Cha-ching.
But I
Woo-hoo.
wasn't thinking about it
You
anymore.
still
So,
got it. That's
yeah,
great.
was crazy. Actually, pretty crazy. So, but
Excellent.
I very much enjoyed how you turned that around. So, thank you for sharing your life with us while you're over there.
Well, I mean, this is why, you know, when I say to myself each morning, I take refuge in the Dharma. What I mean is that I'm going to try to like use whatever happens as a way of, you know, to try to see it through that lens. And as I say, it doesn't necessarily mean that I manage the situation better, but I do understand it. I feel, you know, I feel like, oh, I learned something, or I saw something. And you know, it's dukkha. It doesn't mean like, oh, dukkha goes away because I understand it, but I'm not confused by it. It's like, oh, there, isn't that interesting? And to me, it's so striking that I can, you know, sit in front of you guys or sit, you know, anytime I'm teaching Dharma, I don't ca get captured by that. And you know, I mean, it's interesting and it's curious to me. I can kind of figure it out. I mean, playing music to me is performing, and it's very much a dualistic thing. It's me doing something ostensibly for you, but in my mind, I think somehow that's become distorted into actually it's for me. To get something from you, to get your love, you know, kind of, but which doesn't even make any sense. Anyway, it's
Well, and that
very.
was my, I just had a next question. Did you find yourself, getting more into self when you were performing? But you just sort of answered my question.
No, once I'm in the act, I'm lost in it, you know.
That's
I'm
good.
absorbed in the music, right?
Well,
That's what's
there's mindfulness in playing and performing. Yeah,
absolutely,
definitely.
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I could see that there was still some nervousness, but my mind is like figuring, because I'm really kind of improvising. I have this kind of a piece that I've sort of has evolved for over 50 years. It's like the first thing that I ever wrote, and it's just an open tuning thing. It's got a bunch of little riffs in it, but they can kind of come in different order. And so as I'm doing it, I'm very like problem solving. Oh, where shall I go next? What should I, which riff fits here? And I'm listening and playing. So it's delightful. It's such a joy to do. I mean, it's an amazing thing. I know for those of you who are musicians or people who are performers, I know there's some here, that feeling of being there as it's happening, being alive in the experience. There's nothing like it. It's rapture. It's true rapture. So, but unfortunately, yeah, my ego hijacks it. So, anyway, letting go of that. Joni Lane, hello. See you.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, everyone. I love your story about the music and being suddenly so self-aware. I took a 35-year vacation from music because I had thyroid cancer and I had my thyroid removed and they nicked my vocal cords and I couldn't sing. So it took me years of practice to get some of my voice back. So the first time I sang after 35 years, I was terrified. And prior to that, I was fine. I felt comfortable on a stage and singing, but I was terrified. And my friend is in the audience going, "Hey, you need a smile," because I'm just, it's terrified, scary. Everything was scary. And all of the gain and loss and pleasure and pain and praise and blame and status and disgrace, all of it was right there. And I was okay at the end of it because, like you were saying, once you get into it, you start feeling comfortable and more at home. But wasn't that comfortable at first. But I've noticed over the years of performing, feeling more and more comfortable. And when I got to those places of, I don't even care. I'm just going to sing and enjoy it and have fun. That's when the audience was most receptive because I got out of my own way. I got out of the whole ego thing. It wasn't right in my face. And I think that what you were saying about looking at things is, isn't that interesting? Has happened more and more since that when I can see things and go, huh, wow, that's interesting. I'm stepping away from the ego and just looking at it in order to learn, just in order to gain a better understanding. I feel like when that comes up, the question of, oh, wow, look at that. What's that about? Is so much more comfortable than that, all that self-doubt piling on top of myself. So thank you for sharing that
No question.
story. It's
And one thing that comes to mind as you're talking is that if I'm used to playing with a band, and when it's a band, the spotlight's not on me, and that it's much, much easier for me anyway. Yeah. Thanks, Joni. Nice to see you, hear you. Steve, hi. Another musician here, our
Yeah, well, I was
drummer.
going to say, that what an inspirational talk that you really brought up a lot of memories. I really appreciated that. I tell you, there's nothing more powerful for the ego than when you're doing a drum solo on a massive sound system in front of 10,000 people, and I mean, it's just like I'm going crazy and insane, and so I could really relate to what you were saying because once you remove yourself from that environment, everything kind of comes crashing down. You realize, okay, that was this moment in time. But I think the most important thing, at least for me, is that I've gained so much wisdom in my life by going through all those addictive behaviors and having experienced all those exciting things in my 20s and 30s. And then as I got older, my skills deteriorated and you can't do the same thing at 70 as you can when you're 25. But
No, I could really relate to that, that whole idea of getting to self and the arrogance and the ego. But now it's like I'm really grateful for having those experiences. It's really helping me deal with life on life's terms today. There's no doubt about it. And then the other thing I got inspired by was my wife's been wanting to go to Ireland, and I want to go to Ireland. So I'm ready to get a retreat going. So that gives me a good excuse to come to Ireland, and I'll bring her along and she can go travel with her sister while I go to the retreat.
Okay, Steve, Carolyn, we've got two. So,
Monica's going.
okay, Monica, that's three. Megan just raised her hand. Okay, I'm going to start taking deposits. Oh yeah, Kate O'Day. I mean, you're going to have to lead the Wicca part of it. We'll do some, dancing around the fire, dancing in the moonlight, and Abigail, my dear. 1 minute while you
There
get
we
that.
are. There we
There you are.
are. Thank you. This is not about music, although I'm a choral singer, so the spotlight is never on
Right,
me.
right. Yes.
Never,
Oh,
no
heard.
spotlights.
Yeah.
But there is that loss of self through music, which is quite
Yes.
wonderful.
Yes.
I'm here in New Hampshire. If it looks absolutely incredibly beautiful to you, it is unbelievable. I'm in paradise. And this is where I spent every summer as a child. And I've been, it's a long family story, but I've been coming back here every year for the last few years. And I'm having some self issues. My life in with my grandson is so hard that I'm emotionally exhausted. And I've just come to realize that. So I'm here recovering from emotional exhaustion. And so that's going on. And I want to stay here. I can't be here because I want to stay here, if that makes any sense. I don't want to leave. I want to stay here forever. So that means I can't be here now. And I'm just, it was so good to be able to sit out here on the porch. And the breeze, you kept talking about worldly winds, and as you would say, worldly winds, this incredible breeze would be coming up. It's absolutely beautiful. But gosh, it's hard to find this self and to then let go of this self. And it's I want to hold on to it when I find it. Or I want to hold on to something that's going to give it to me. It's I also have a lot of family, so we have a lot of that kind of self too, which is really interesting. It's very interesting.
Well, they make you into a self as well.
Right. And my because of Lucas and his particular sort of autism, the title of my book, my daughter says, is I Am Not Who You Think I Am. And that's very much what I'm feeling right now, too. I'm not who I think I am.
Right.
But thank you so much, everybody, for being here. And thank you
Yeah.
for bringing us
Thanks.
off the cushion into life, Cannon.
Yeah, thanks for joining in, Abigail. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're getting some rest. And however, just take care of yourself, as best you can.
So beautiful, so incredibly lovely.
New Hampshire's
Thank
fabulous.
you.
Almost as nice as Wexford.
But no cousins.
Right. And Carolyn, we'll wrap it up with you.
Hello, Kevin. Hello, everyone. I'll try. As you know, I'm uncomfortable talking on Zoom, but yes, I will go to, I'll jump at anything to go to
Well,
Ireland.
we all love it. We just love talking on Zoom, so.
I need to get used to this because I do love participating. What triggered me to put the raise hand button was the self and no self, because I just came back from a couple of days. I went to the coast in North Carolina by myself with my dog. And every time I do this daily around here, also at home, but it's that I'm always battling so self-conscious of myself when I'm not working. I'm not going to describe life situation, home situation, doesn't matter. But in the past 2 years, with this being introduced to the Buddhism addiction meditation, there's a connection that disconnects from that self-consciousness. And I like what you said. You didn't say let go. I always struggle with that word. I love your take on step 6 and 7, by the way. It helped me understand the letting go. But I like what you said. I wrote it down. It says how the self-consciousness just ruins your life and you can't stop it.
Right. You can't just turn it off just because
No,
you
you
know
can't.
it's there.
Yeah, and it's there. And I'm like,
Yeah.
but what happened, particularly yesterday in one of my walks where I was, and I realized, oh, the mood is back. I feel good now. I feel connected. I feel like who I am. And as I'm walking, I'm going, this comes and goes, but so does the other side of me. It comes, but I never noticed that it goes until,
Right.
and I remember there's some other, and there's something else that you've said in the past or that I've read recently that makes this connection that I'm taken as I am slowly coming along. And I have a lot of doubt. Should I be meditating? I don't know. This is so hard. I don't know any too many people that do this, blah, blah, blah. But what I just heard now, and yeah, I'm coming to Ireland. I'm also see you in September when you come to North Carolina. But
Very good.
yeah, thank you very much. It kind of wrapped up my weekend that I spent by myself with my dog. But ne not necessarily, there were times when I wasn't just into myself. I'm seeing that life is getting better. It's working. It's working. So something's working. I'm just going to
Yeah.
continue. So thank you.
Good. Thank you for chiming in and just, I mean that self-consciousness, it's Mara, as they say. And yeah, we can't just turn it off, but we can, if we're aware of it, we can feel it and know that it's okay to feel that, and it'll pass and it's not who we are. One thing I wanted to share before we go, since I realized last week I just kind of like checked off, logged off. Saw Bhikkhu Bodhi last the weekend before the past, and something came up about how he does loving kindness meditation, and he said that what he does is that he thinks about all the places in the world where there is great suffering, and particularly the war zones. And I was very struck because it's how I've been practicing for a couple of years as well. So I just offer you that maybe right now, just to reflect on the fact that there are people who are in great danger and under terrible circumstances, and not to, dwell on that to get yourself feeling bad or guilty, but to just send love to them and hope and prayers that they may be safe and that they may be at peace and live in peace. So as the Buddha says, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outward and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will. So may all beings be free from suffering and free from warfare. Blessings, and thank you again, everybody. Really great to see you, and brings me a lot of comfort. And see you next week.
See you next
Thank you,
week. Thank
Kevin.
you,
That's a
Kevin.
good way,
Okay, guys.
a good way to end it today.
Thank
Loving
you.
kindness to everybody around the world. A lot of
Yeah.
suffering.
Yeah.
Safe travels.
Thank you. I'm going to end the meeting. 3, 2, 1.